الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنعم على رسوله الأمين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأتباعه أجمعين أما بعد yes. باب ما جاء في خضاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Chapter about the narrations relating to the khidab of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Khadad, khidab. Khidab is a coloring agent or a dye which is used for hair. Now, those who are participating in our halaqah, come closer. Come close to. There is a discussion about whether Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ever actually used khidab or not. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ever use a coloring agent, a type of dye for his hair? And there is no consensus on this question. In fact, there is a difference of opinion. And if you look at the title of this chapter, it's actually left open by the muhaddith Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He's entitled the chapter with a phrase which is more about the discussion, less about the decision. In other words, the decision is left open and the opinion of different muhaddithun is respected. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam dye his hair or did he not? So if you look at the words of the chapter, ma ja'a fi khidab an-nabi sallallahu rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those narrations which have come about this subject, meaning those discussions, those narrations from which we can discern one way or the other. We just wait for the brother to complete his prayer. ما جاء في خضاب النبي صلى الله عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, the previous chapter was actually about shayb, which is when the hair becomes white, when the hair becomes grey. And the discussion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's white hair. And we learned in the last dars that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's white hair was very little. The hairs were so few in number that various sahaba attempted to count them. Some have mentioned 14, some 17, 18. Some have said less than 20. And where were they? They were sudghayhi, the temples, the space between the eyes and the ears. They were in this area. And possibly, there may have been some, as is suggested by some narrations, in the middle part of the head. Generally speaking, that's where they were. So it's not as though there was a lot of white hair. And because the opening narration in the previous chapter also mentioned the subject of khidab, I said a few words about this in the last dars, which I will quickly repeat for the benefit. Yes, inshallah? It's a short chapter, there's just a few hadith in it, and we will conclude. And that's the chapters completed relating to the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we move on to another subject, kuhl, for the next verse, insha'Allah. So, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, it's mustahab to do khidab if your hair becomes grey, white. In other words, if you don't, there's no sin at all. And if you do, it's considered to be a positive thing, an act which can be condoned, which can be encouraged. It's appropriate. An aspect of virtue is there. According to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, it's sunnah. So the emphasis is greater. In other words, it's something that should be done and encouraged. And there's quite a reward there. And according to Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, it's actually discouraged because some narrations encourage us to preserve white hair. I mean, I mentioned one narration to you in the last verse. La tantifu shayb. Don't pluck white hair because it is the nur of the mu'min. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned in some narrations as to be the first person ever to have had white hair. And when he got it, he asked Allah, "What is this, Ya Rab?" And he was told, "This is waqar. This is a type of dignity and calmness and wisdom." And so he said, "Ya Rab, zidni, increase me in this waqar." So there are positive attributes associated with white hair. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the white hair of Abdahu Zakariya, Allah's special servant Zakariya alayhi salam. In the words of Zakariya himself, when he makes that plea to Allah for a child in old age, he says, Rabbi inni wahana al-azmu minni washta'ala al-ra'su shayba. O Allah, my very bones have become weak and my hair has flared up in the whiteness of old age. Ishti'al. Washta'ala al-ra'su shu'la is a flame. So like a flame spreads, a fire spreads. Very eloquent expression of figurative speech. My hair, the whiteness is spreading through it. So in other words, it was white and left in that state. So you can see this is a nuanced discussion. What's important for us to understand, two aspects, which I also mentioned last week. Number one, it's important to understand that as Muslims, tahara is a necessary part of our deen, is it not? Yes. In the form of the ghusl of janaba, in the form of the wudu, in the form of the masah, which we do over our hair, in the form of the sunnah ghusl of Eid and Jumu'ah, etc. Yes? For men and women, ghusl is necessary. It's a necessary part of our deen. And therefore, it will not be permissible to use any kind of colouring agent or dye which coats the hair in such a way that it creates a layer over it, preventing the water from reaching the hair. Janaba is in every hair of the body. Every hair has to be washed. And if this is not the case, if no coating is, there is no coating, the colouring agent, the dye, does not coat the hair in such a way as to prevent water from reaching it. It merely stains the hair. It merely stains the hair. Then it's permissible to use it in this sense. It's okay to use it in this sense. It will not prevent tahara. And the other aspect is tashabbuh. Tashabbuh bil fujjar. Tashabbuh. We need to be careful about this in all our habits in today's weird and wonderful world. One should not assume any characteristic or mannerism or personal attribute which leads one to be associated with fujar, with people who are far away from deen, far away from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Does this make sense? Keeping these things in mind, in principle, we have already mentioned that according to Imam Abu Hanifa, it's sunnah, it's mustahab, and according to Imam Shafi'i, it's sunnah. So if you wish to use dye, particularly if you are going grey, they refer to it as salt and pepper, black and white, then you can choose to do so there's no problem with that. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam use hair dye? It's an open discussion. We're going to go over the narrations now. Let's begin. Bismillah. Abu Rimtha says, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a son of mine. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam inquired, this is your son? I said, yes. Ishhad bihi, be a witness upon him. Now why did he say this? In the days before Islam, sometimes what would happen is that you would commit a crime, assault somebody, get into a fight, cause some damage by mistake, by intention, with intent, whatever. Or your son would. And people would sometimes take the place of each other. So the father, in his devotion to his son, might take the punishment himself so that his son could be spared, or his son the punishment so the father could be spared. And so he's saying, this is my son, and Ya Rasulullah, be a witness. In any such eventuality, we can both stand in for each other. And Rasulullah, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, are sent to the world to rectify the wrongs of this world. Yes? It's not fair that either should be punished for the other. Is this correct? Who should be punished? The one who commits the crime. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam immediately said, Neither can he do a jinaya against you, nor can you do a jinaya against him. In other words, neither can he commit an act of injustice which you are responsible for, nor the other way around. Each will be responsible for their own actions and will suffer the punishment of their own actions. This was immediately set right. And then, he says, Abu Rimtha, and this is the new reason why Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala mentions this narration in this bab and section. He says, Ra'itu Ahmara. I saw a shayb. Shayb is hair which is discolored with, or which has a change of color with old age, normally white, gray. He said, but he says, so shayb is the hair that becomes gray or white. So he says, I saw shayb which was red. I saw shayb, red, a redness. I saw hair, aging hair, a redness. So Abu Isa is the kunya of Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah. And so Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah is annotating, he's undernoting this particular point next to this hadith. Imam Tirmidhi says, this is the best which has been narrated in this chapter. And the most afsar, the one with the most detail, the most tafsir, the most explanatory. It's because correct narrations, authentic sahih narrations are that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reach a stage where he had lots and lots of white hair. So then why would he need to use dye? Would you use dye for a few white hairs? You see the question here? Ji. Yes. So this is about the name of Abu Rimtha, which is his kunya. Now, the redness, what does this mean? Was there dye or was there not dye? Do you see the question? And this narration doesn't say. It says there was shayb, which was hair that changes color with age, and it was red. And why does Imam Tirmidhi say this is the best narration? Because narrations which are sahih and authoritative suggest that the Prophet ﷺ did not reach a stage in life in which he had lots of white hair. What's Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah trying to say? Do we understand? Are we following? So basically, once we've established the discussion, clarified with the parameters of this discussion, what's happening here is that this hadith is silent. It's mute about khidab. it's simply describing the color of the shayb, the area of hair which had changed color. So it's an open question. Had it changed because of khidab? And you might say, well, what's the other way it might change? Remember, the word red is a broad term. Yes? Some people have brown hair, do they not? Some people have a reddishness in their hair. Yes? Some people have streaks of brown or red hair. Right, well, here's the point. The muhaddithun say, sometimes hair becomes brown or red or ginger colored before it becomes white. It's a natural process. Sometimes black hair can become brown, red, ginger, all of these colors, all of these tones of color. Yes? Before it becomes white. And so in such a situation, you might even know such people in your own circles. In such a situation, it's got a reddish tinge without any touch of khidab. And that's why it's an open question. And so it can be suggested, and it's a valid opinion, that the Prophet ﷺ's shayb and the Prophet ﷺ's hair, which appeared as though it might have been tinged with a hair dye, was naturally of that color in the process of aging. It wasn't a consequence of coming into contact with hair dye. Does this make sense? Now, some narrations seem to contradict this particular position because they seem to explicitly talk about the use of color. How can they be reconciled if you say Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam never dyed his hair, but then you see some narrations which suggest that hina was used or other substances were used, then how do you reconcile? We'll understand this in a moment, inshallah. But do you understand why this hadith isn't? It leaves it open now. Does this make sense? That the redness doesn't have to be because of khidab and dye. Ji. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was questioned, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam use khidab? Did he color and his hair? He said, yes. Abu Isa, Imam Tirmidhi, in other words, says, Abu Uwana has narrated this hadith. And, yes, from Uthman ibn Abdullah. And he said, and he narrated it from Umm Salama. Yes. Now, again, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu may be discerning this point from observing the color of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hairs rather than having observed him using khidab. And if you take it to be literal, then I'm going to give you the explanation of that in a moment. Let's proceed. Ji. The narrator says, the name of the narrator. Read it from there. The wife of Imraati Bishr bin Khasasiyah. Okay. So basically, she says, Ra'aytu Rasul, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming out of his house. Yanfudhu ra'sahu, shaking his head. It's when you shake your head when you have a lot of hair and you've taken a shower, a bath, and there are water droplets on your hair, shaking the water off in this fashion. Ji. And he had just performed ghusl, he'd just taken a bath, and on his head was the effects of hinna. Ji. Or she said, Radhun with a ghain. So she either said Radhun or she said Radhun. Shakka. The narrator has a doubt in which one she said, although some of the muhaddithin say that it was without the ghain. So Radhun is an application of color. It's an application which might be made with za'faran or something else, which has color in it. Yes? A type of dye. And radhun is an application. So radhun is sibgh, it's a color. And radhun is for fragrance. Is for fragrance. Now, this narration clearly mentions henna, which is a plant which is famously used. Henna, women use it for coloring their skin, sometimes painting their hands, yes, or nails, but it's often used for hair by men and women. So how do you reconcile this with the narrations or the position of some muhaddithun that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not use hair dye? Well, one answer is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did use hair dye. That is one position. But one answer is that it wasn't used for this purpose. It wasn't used for the purpose of dyeing the hair. So what was the purpose? Well, sometimes in certain illnesses, henna is used as an application to the head. And although it may temporarily color the hair, the purpose then is not dyeing at all, and it will not have a permanent effect because it will, after some time, disappear, the effect of the color. Do we understand? So that's how you can reconcile the narrations which explicitly mention the use of henna, that it may have been used in illness as an application to the head, which was often done and is still done by people for other reasons, for headaches and so forth. Chaliye ji. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, I saw the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makhluban, in a state that it had been treated with khidab, it had been coloured. Yeah, and that's the concluding hadith in this particular chapter. Again, so he says, I saw it maghdub. He didn't see, I saw the Prophet applying dye. You see? Yes? And because some narrations suggest that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not reached such old age that he would even need dye, that's where the discussion is. So there are both opinions. That's the concluding point. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, as we learned in the last chapter, did use henna. He used it with qatam. If you use henna on its own, it gives you a reddish tinge, and if you mix it with qatam, which is another plant, it takes it towards a greenish, darker tinge, which is not black, but it's more inclined towards black. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu did use hair dye. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Fatah of Makkah, instructed Abu Quhafa, Abu Bakr's father radiyallahu ta'ala, to use dye as well, to color his hair. So there are all those narrations. So there's absolutely no doubt and question that dye can be used as long as it's not going to prevent purification, tahara, yes? And as long as, I've already mentioned, it's not to imitate fujjar, there's nothing wrong with using hair dye per se. But did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam use it? There's a difference of opinion in this mas'ala. Some narrations suggest that he did, and some that he didn't. Wallahu a'lam bis-sawab. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma lakal hamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa li 'azim sultanika. La nuhsi thana'an 'alayka anta kama athnayta 'ala nafsik. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون كما تحب وترضى ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه ما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه ما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.